Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Chris Lowe joins us to talk a little college football. Chris, I had so much fun on Saturday. I got to tell you, I was in Atlanta. I didn't leave my hotel room, but twice. I watched college football all day into the night. And it was a beautiful thing.
And you got to watch it again last night, and you get to watch it again tonight, right?
I do, indeed. Willie Taggart with his debut down at
Bonus.
Yeah, let's hit that real quick. What do you think about tonight's game? We've had a couple people wanting us to bring it up, and we've just been talking SEC here. So what do you think about tonight's matchup?
Well, I tell you, I spent a day and a half in Tallahassee a few weeks ago, Dawn, and spent some time with Willie, got to watch him practice. I mean, there's still a lot of talented players there, and I think he feels like that they're going to be better. You know, everybody talks about Clemson and ACC. You didn't really hear, even Miami until last night. But you haven't heard a lot of talk about Florida State. I think DeAndre Francois being back. And I asked Willie, I said, how healthy does he look? And he said, well, there was a couple of plays in practice today where he really, he made plays and felt the rush and made, laser type throws where you're thinking, all right, that's what I'm looking for out of DeAndre Francois. So I think he makes a difference. Who knows what happened last year if he doesn't get hurt. But they're still pretty good on defense, and I think they're a team that has a really good chance to be better, come late October, November, than maybe a lot of people are thinking right now.
Yeah, Cam Akers, another guy, running back. I love watching that kid play.
Well, he's a great – they're running back – their whole running back stable. I mean, the freshman that they brought in, LeBourne, I think, watching those guys play – and move, and they got a lot of guys that can go at that position, and as well as skilled players at receiver. I think, again, it's not like they haven't recruited well. It's not like they rewarded talent. Everything just sort of crumbled last year after he got hurt, after Francois got hurt, and they just never were the same. And I think when it started to – the writing was sort of on the wall there later in the year that A&M was going to come hard after Jimbo, and I think that all sort of played a part into it too. But I'll tell you what Willie told me when we were done with the TV interview. He looked at me and said, I think we're going to be pretty good. Just don't tell anybody.
Well, you just did. Tennessee got smoked by West Virginia. Certainly we knew that was a possibility, 40-14. And Will Grier, Chris, was awesome. Sills and Jennings was a bad matchup for Tennessee's defense. And credit Dana Holgorsen at halftime. He figured out some things to go attack Tennessee with and did a good job in the third quarter. What stood out to you about Tennessee from a Tennessee perspective that Tennessee fans can kind of take away from that game?
Well, from a Tennessee perspective, and you're right about Grier. Grier's an exceptional talent. Can get rid of the football. I mean, he's just going to be so hard to sack because he gets rid of the ball and has a great receiving core. Tennessee won't see a better quarterback all year than him. Talk about a little can throw it. There'll be some, Locke is a big-time player, but they won't see anybody any better than Grier. I thought in the first half, Brent, that Tennessee showed me something, the way they answered a couple of those West Virginia scores with really what I call big boy drives to come back and drive the football. But you're right, second half, I never liked that matchup to begin with, Grier and those receivers against what Tennessee started, three freshmen in the secondary. Mm-hmm. And Pruitt told me when I was there last week that he was most concerned about his defensive line, depth, and guys that can – be difference makers. They just don't have that. Either one of them really right now. And you saw that show up. So when you're starting that many guys that haven't played before in your secondary, and you couple that with you're just okay in the defensive line against that kind of passing combo, then what happens typically, what's going to happen? So, I know a lot of people were fired up and excited about the Pruitt era beginning. I felt all along that was a bad matchup for Tennessee, and it proved to be so. But they were in the football game. It wasn't like they you know, just sort of never were competitive. They were in it. They fall back a couple times. But when Greer, as you say, when Greer got it going, they just were no match for him.
Were you surprised with how Tennessee's offensive line struggled early?
A little bit. You know, and they're going to have to be able to protect Garantano. Because, you know, Garantano was pretty solid. He was accurate. He didn't turn the football over.
Agree.
I think they're going to have to take some more shots down the field and get some chunk plays. That's the thing. You can't just line up all the time. He wants to be physical. You're going to see him try to be physical and continue to grow that run game. So those guys up front are going to have to gel. But here's the thing, if you're Tyson Helton, that I think is the trickiest part, Brent. You've got to call a game, and now that we've seen Tennessee defensively, I think we all probably would agree with this. You've got to call a game where you protect that defense a little bit. So it's a little bit of a tightrope. But you also want to be flexible enough that you let Garantano do what he can do and throw the football down the field. You got to sort of find that balance. And I think that's these next couple of weeks, they should better be able to do that going into the Florida game. But no, they got to get better up front. I think that's remember, Trey Smith did very little at all contact wise this preseason. Chance Hall, there's a lot of guys you plug into. Kennedy's new to this group. Johnson, you know, struggled early, but I thought he played better later on. He's a new guy. Offensive line is so much about continuity, playing together. I think this unit will get better as the season goes on.
Vanderbilt with an opening win over MTSU. We've had so much talk about how great the quarterbacks are in the SEC this year, and Shurmur showing that again. What was your take after an opening win for Vanderbilt? Obviously, you expect them to do that to MTSU, but sometimes when we expect Vandy to do something to a team, it doesn't happen. But they did take care of business and really got going later in that game.
Yeah, you know what, Dorn, you know what to me was most impressive is the way Vanderbilt finished the game.
Yeah.
They you know, they didn't let Middle hang around. They finished the game. They sort of got him down and put him out. It's got to be great for Derek Mason and Tarver to see, and they'd like to have a couple more, but they created a couple turnovers. You know, and that was the thing last year that Vanderbilt didn't do. They didn't create turnovers. And for this team to be a bowl team, make a run at the bowl this year, they're going to have to do that. So I thought that and the fact that they finished the game and really sort of made that statement, you know what, we're not going to let you hang around, that probably to Derek Mason was as pleasing as anything. We know Shurmur can throw it. We know he's going to be a guy that not only can he throw it, he knows where to go with the football. He processes things quickly. He's going to get better and better. But I think for Vanderbilt to be a team that has a chance, you know, to be thinking postseason come late November, they got to really grow and be aggressive on defense and help that offense, because it's just a tough way to make a living every week if you're going to have to win 38-35, 41-38. And I think that's the thing that you just can't get in that rut.
Chris Lowe with us. Chris, Vanderbilt has Nevada coming up at home this weekend. They're a 10-point favorite in that one. Then they go on the road to Notre Dame. That's kind of when we'll learn a lot more about this group.
Yeah, Nevada can score two now. So, I mean, that will be a little bit of a litmus test for the defense, too, to see what they do. You know, can they force some more turnovers and help the offense going into that trip to Notre Dame? And you're right. From that point on, we find out a lot more about Vanderbilt. But remember this. Now, last season early on, and I was at the game, they beat K-State there at home, and which I thought was that's a really good win. This is a Vanderbilt team that has a chance to really make some noise. And then, of course,
ooh, Alabama. Or 2 weeks,
they ran into that big Crimson Elephant there in Nashville and were never the same. So, much like my point, guys, the way they finished the game against Middle, you know, I want to see how this team, are they deeper? Have they been able to create more depth? And can they finish the season? Because that's the thing that has really, you go back over the years when Vanderbilt has struggled, they just aren't able to finish the season. You know, and that's why whatever happens these next 2, 3, 4 weeks, and I guarantee you Derek Mason would tell you the same thing. To me, it will be even more telling where this team is late October, early November.
Chris Lowe with us. We'll get into Notre Dame and Michigan when we come back. Also, we talked a little bit about Tua, about Auburn with a big win, and we'll get into some of the big college football playoff ramifications from week one when we come back. Chris Lowe joining us live on Labor Day. We'll be right back. 3HL 104.5 The Zone. 3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery, joined by Chris Lowe talking some college football. And Chris, Jalen Hurd made his Baylor debut, caught four passes, 58 yards, and a touchdown as a wide receiver in college football.
Yeah, you know, everybody I talked to that had been through there, I didn't get a chance to go through Baylor, but talked to several people in and around that program, and some people who did had predicted that in that offense, the way they were going to use him, he would have a big year. So I'm not surprised, you know, with his debut there at Baylor. You know, he's, even when he was playing running back at Tennessee, you always knew he could catch football.
Yep.
Big, you know, big rangy kid. And I think he's got a chance to be, especially the way when you look at the program now, you know, if he continues to develop and continues to improve with his skill set, he's got a chance to be a guy who can do a lot of different things. I know they still plan on using him there at Baylor, you know, a lot of different ways. It's still weird the way he left Tennessee, and there's two sides to every story. And I really don't want to go back down that road. But it sounds like he's found a place where he's happy, a place he feels like is going to use him the way he wants to be used. And we'll see how it all shakes out.
Chris, why can't Michigan get over the hump? They've lost 17 consecutive road games against ranked opponents. Watching that Notre Dame-Michigan game, why can't they get over the hump with Harbaugh?
Well, what are the 8-8 in his last 16 games? Is that right?
Yeah.
I think they're 500. They're going to have to get over the hump, or they're going to be talking about bringing a new football coach to Michigan for too long. Now, I'm not saying they're going to fire him after this season, but you guys know as well as I know that as much as they're paying him, as much hype as there's been around him, if he doesn't win any games this year that count, that matter, it's going to be a pretty the climate will be, let's just say this, the climate there in Ann Arbor will be about like the climate is January and February there. It is not very pretty. It's cold. You know, they just, offensively, they haven't been able to get it right. You know, defensively, I was a little disappointed the way, certainly early, that the defense played in that game, you know, because they're loaded on the defensive side of football. And now they play, you know, they sort of settled in and played better as the game went on, but offense has been the problem. You just find any continuity. Everybody thought to Shea Patterson, you know, and I'll be honest, I think Shea Patterson was talented, but again, like I said a minute ago about plugging guys in, when you plug somebody in, quarterback or wherever, sometimes it takes a while. It doesn't just all of a sudden translate into this guy and this offense taking off and being explosive. So we'll see. That was a game. I thought Notre Dame would win, but the way they just sort of pounced on Michigan and controlled that first half, and really, you know, I never got a feeling that Michigan was going to win that football game. That's not a good look for the Wolverines as they start the season.
You talk about plugging in a quarterback. LSU has seemed to have done it. How much of last night was maybe national media kind of overlooking or not realizing or not knowing the unknown of what LSU could do offensively, or how much was it maybe Miami is not as good as we thought?
Well, you know, don't we thought Joe Burrow was the Tigers. We put him in there for the Tigers, that we were going to be a lot better offensively. And I thought you saw that last.
That's pretty good, Chris.
Hey, Chris, you'll appreciate this. We had Mike Dettillier on earlier, and he did a Coach O impersonation.
Well, Mike knows it better than I know him. And Mike's known him for a long time.
Well, and Mike's
got a little Edo in him anyway.
He's got that Cajun thing going.
Mike's from down there in Raceland, Louisiana. But, you know, Don, if you pulled up the stats from that game right now and didn't watch any of that football game last night, and I did, so I'm cheating here a little bit, but if you just pulled up the stats and looked at it, there's no way you would think that LSU romped in that game the way they did.
Like they were up 33-3.
Yeah.
There's no way. I mean, so it's a little bit deceiving. Miami obviously was overrated. I thought Miami would win the football game. But LSU did some things, I know from an LSU perspective, that fans were glad to see. They you know, tried some different things offensively. Still got to get better. And Burrow, I think, will get better as they go forward this year offensively. But that defense, Dave Aranda and that LSU defense, listen, you look at their home schedule and who comes through, not Tiger Stadium, but Tiger Stadium this year. They're going to wreck somebody's season, and I think ultimately will be a big factor. I don't think they're going to win the West, but they could be a big factor in who does win it, because defensively they're going to keep them in every game they play. To me, how much can they grow offensively under Ensminger? But not, hey, good win. I don't care, and I love the revisionist narrative on games. Everybody says, well, I don't know how good LSU is. Miami is overrated. Well, maybe they were, but they still took them apart. Mm-hmm. A Miami team that was ranked in the top 10 coming into the game. It took them apart. It looked pretty impressive in doing so. So I think it's a great, great opening win. The kind of win Eddie O needed, honestly, to kick off this season and give them some momentum going into what's going to be a tough schedule. They've got a tough schedule.
To your point, those three home games you were talking about, Georgia on October 13th at LSU, Mississippi State on October 20th, they have an off week, and then number one Alabama, November 3rd, all in Baton Rouge.
And I'm predicting, I'm predicting they win at least one of those three at home. Maybe two, but at least one. It's a tough place to play, and the West, here's the other thing. And I've done this long enough, and you guys have too. You know, you never sell the farm based on what you see in the first week of the college football season.
Right.
But, boy, the West looks pretty good one weekend, the SEC West. When you look at what Auburn did, their win, Alabama just was and talking about, oh, it was phenomenal. Mississippi State, I think, is the team that probably we're all sleeping on a little bit too much. And how about Matt Luke and Ole Miss in that offense? I mean, I don't think they're not going to win the West, but I'll tell you one thing. You have a hard time grinding games out against that club. They're going to score points. And I'll be interested to see what A&M does this week against Clemson. And you couple that with what LSU did against the Miami team. The West looks like it's going to be a war this year.
7-0 overall, 4-0 versus Power 5 opponents, and then 2-0 against top 10 opponents. So SEC West certainly looking good.
Yeah, Ole Miss, you talked about that wide receiver group being maybe the best room in the country. Did you look at their combined stats, Chris? 17 receptions, 270 yards, and two touchdowns between Brown, Lodge, and Metcalf.
And all those guys will play in the NFL. I'm not saying they're all going to be stars, but they'll all play pro ball.
Yeah.
And Tomu, I mean, going back to the, you know, Shea Patterson, there were a lot of people there. Again, it's easy to say this after a kid leaves. But when you look at the way he finished the season last year after stepping in, talking about Tomu, there was a lot of belief there that he would be just as effective, if not more so. And I think you're going to see that this year. But let's face it, when you got those kind of guys to throw to,
that's Brad, what I said. I'm like, it's a dream.
You can stand back there in the pocket and have a pretty big day. So, they're going to scare a lot of defensive coordinators with the way they can throw the football and spread the ball around.
What did you think about Auburn's win against Washington, and what impact does that have on the college football world?
You know, realistically, they still have to run the ball better. I don't think Auburn's great in the middle of that offensive line. They've got to get better. J.B. Grimes is a really good coach, and I think he will get that unit to jail. Stidham looked better, threw the ball better. But again, and I'm an old school, seen it a long time, the SEC kind of guy. But when you have that kind of defensive front seven that Kevin still does at Auburn, I mean, those guys are just nasty. They are good. I mean, I was there last week, spent the whole day with them, watched them practice, talking to their old friend Rodney Garner, the defensive line coach. Kevin, they've got four or five pros in that defensive line right now. And they just beat them up. Now, it helped huge advantage to Auburn that Washington's tackle didn't make the trip. That was a big deal in that game. But even had he been there, Auburn is just so good up front defensively. How do they grow offensively? Are they able to run the ball better, more consistently? What do they do with Stidham? Because I do think they'll use Stidham better than they did last year. Last year they looked like they were all year long kind of sort of feel their way through. What's it do for the league? It's a bad loss for the Pac-12. It's going to be hard, even if, I guess theoretically, if Washington were now to go through and win the rest of the games, which they may, and win the Pac-12 championship, they would have a shot. A lot of it would probably depend on how Auburn does the rest of the way, and Auburn's got a killer schedule. But for Auburn, I tell you what it does. They can lose. Let's say they lose at Alabama or at Georgia and then come back and win the SEC championship and only have a one loss in the league. That win against Washington, particularly if Washington goes on and wins the Pac-12 championship and only has that one loss, it's going to count two or three times when the committee – or count times two or three times when the committee goes to pick the teams for the playoff. I think it's a huge win for Auburn because it gives them a little bit of a buffer. I think now they could lose one in the SEC. I don't think they could lose two, you know, unless everybody everyone loses in other conferences. But I think they could lose one and still win the championship and still probably be a lock to get in the playoff.
Great stuff, Chris. Really appreciate your time on this Labor Day Monday, and we look forward to talking with you on Friday, my friend.
Same here. You guys and gals have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Chris.